And thank you so much for joining us. This is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse, here with another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, right here on Progressive Radio Network, Ari Knowles Network. Dr. Zamperone and I are so happy to be part of Progressive Radio Network for many reasons. One is that we are growing, and we'd love you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Facebook, The Natural Nurse, and like us there. You can go to Progressive Radio Network and like the station, and then you'll get all the updates about the many excellent shows that are aired right here on Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of things here that you cannot find anywhere else, certainly not on mainstream media, which is becoming more and more what I would call kind of vanilla-flavored, like it's all the same no matter which station you go to, and it's all highly controlled. So thank you again for joining us, and we're very happy to have as our guest today Mr. Stephen Horne, and that's H-O-R-N-E. He is a longtime professional member and, in fact, the past president of the American Herbalist Guild, as well as being a professional member and certified instructor for the International Iridology Practitioners Association. He is the author of numerous books and courses on herbs and natural healing, including his latest release, Modern Herbal Medicine, which he co-authored with Thomas Easley. He's the president of the School of Modern Herbal Medicine, which is located in St. George, Utah. And you can find him online at modernherbalmedicine.com. And they have an 800 number as well, 800-416-2887. And as always, today's show, you could be listening live. You may even want to call in. You can while we're on live. And then the show will be archived at Progressive Radio Network, so you can follow it anytime or tell your friends and family to catch us there. Stephen, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure, Ellen. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me, going back in time, when did you first sort of recognize the fact that you had a strong interest in natural medicine and, in particular, herbal medicine?
Well, that started when I was actually in scouting, and I had to earn a nature merit badge. So I was learning to identify plants, and the field guide I had uses that the Native Americans had made of plants for food and medicine and dye and so forth. And I had been studying this for a little while, and I was on a camping trip and kind of thinking how cool it was that they had used this plant for fishing line and that plant for dye and everything. And I had this impression come to me, like, well, if you were a loving God, wouldn't you have put everything naturally on the face of the earth to take care of your children? And that really got me thinking, you know, that and I concluded that the Creator had made medicines to heal all of mankind's afflictions. And so that's what got me started. I started getting fascinated with going out and learning what Native peoples had used plants for. And then
so
later,
even as a child, I mean, you know, when you're a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout, you know, you're not a grown adult and you weren't necessarily thinking about your living.
Yeah, I was 15 years old at the time, and I had a lot of health problems growing up, chronic sinus problems, got sick easily, was always given antibiotics. And so after a few years of doing this, another thought came to me that I'd always kind of thought this is survival medicine or stuff to do in emergencies. And I thought, well, maybe this would work better. Maybe the way that the whole herb is put together is better than the modern drugs. So I started changing my diet. I started using herbal remedies, getting some chiropractic care, and I got well. So that's really what propelled me into an interest of this.
Isn't that amazing how wonderfully natural medicine works? People are continuously surprised if they come to see me or you and you give them a suggestion of things that they can use to help themselves, and then they work. They're often very surprised, and they say, why didn't my doctor tell me about this?
Well, yeah, and it's very interesting to me that people think that herbs, you know, work really slowly or that they're, you know, take a long time. I find if you really become skilled at herbal medicine actually works faster than orthodox medicine. Maybe not at symptom relief, but it actually works faster at getting you well. You know, the body takes a certain amount of time for recovery, and herbs speed that recovery time instead of, in many cases, the drugs actually inhibit that recovery time.
And certainly in terms of adverse effects. Now, one thing that the media, the mainstream media does, and of course you have to look at who's behind that, such as lots of big money through the drug companies, when someone does get some kind of negative effect from herbs, which does happen, but it's so rare when you look at the number, right, the number of people that have any kind of adverse effect to natural remedies is very small, according to the CDC.
Yeah, well, actually, I tell people herbs are held to a higher standard than drugs because there are numerous reports of adverse effects of drugs every year. But because they have this idea of the risk versus benefit ratio, that if the drug has a benefit, it may outweigh the risk, okay? But with herbs, it only takes a few adverse effects reports for them to want to come after that herb because they don't consider it to have any benefit. Therefore, there's no risk benefit outweighing the risk. So they'll take herbs off the market that are far less dangerous, like ephedra, than the drug counterpart simply because they say, well, it has no benefit. So it's a shame we lost ephedra in this country as an herb, when they still allowed the over-the-counter cold medications and so forth containing the concentrated alkaloid from the plant, and that's considered safe, but the whole plant, where you're getting a dose of that in much smaller quantities than you get in the over-the-counter medications, was considered dangerous. It's very, very strange reasoning, but we know that that's motivated by money and profit and, that sort of thing, rather than by what's in the best interest of people.
That's so true. And sometimes you hear conflicting information. Well, I'll give you one. This is a little bit of a higher level question, and you probably know about this, and maybe lots of our listeners don't. But just like you mentioned previously, most herbs do have specific active constituents. And if those active constituents are isolated out, it may increase their toxicity. So I'm thinking of one that I get lots of questions about, which is cat's claw, in terms of having something called TOA. And very often, people call looking for something that's called TOA-free cat's claw. However, there's lots of research showing that that exact TOA is what gives cat's claw its active constituents that actually make it have a high healing capacity.
Yeah, well, this is where people don't understand the idea of synergy, because any plant that we take, even if it's as simple as a potato, has thousands of chemical compounds in it, and potatoes contain trace amounts of solanine, which is actually a very toxic alkaloid. In fact, you can concentrate ingredients out of just about any food that we eat that would be toxic if taken as individual ingredients. And so when the whole plant has a history of safety, it's because there's a synergy of the ingredients working together that reduces any toxicity down to where you're getting some of the benefits without a lot of the risks.
That's so true, and we see that because just like you explained in the beginning, and you did bring in a spiritual revelation that you had in terms of a creator, even when you were a young person, and that things probably were already put here in a way that they could be used without all kinds of chemical tampering.
Yeah, well, all kinds of things that we, that would be toxic individually, like salt, sodium, it's a corrosive metal. Chlorine is a toxic gas. But when they're shoved together, sodium chloride, we eat that all the time, right? And granted, too much of it is probably not good for us, but I think that a natural salt people can use quite freely, and it's very beneficial to them, because that also, a natural salt has other trace minerals in it that help balance it out again, whereas refined salt doesn't. So again, there's a difference between the whole and just the individual components that you can isolate out. And that's one thing that people do not understand.
Yeah, and that's true. And of course, the pharmaceutical industry seems at this point very threatened by the fact that people are using natural remedies so often and getting well, because for each person that does that, they stand to lose millions of dollars. If you think about the fact that most people start on one pharmaceutical, which has so many side effects, they're soon taking a whole bunch of pharmaceuticals to offset the negative side effect of the original drug that they used. So anyone who changes their diet, looks at a book like yours, which we're going to talk about in depth, the Modern Herbal Medicine book that you wrote, just makes it so easy, quick and easy to get rid of. Let's not talk about necessarily cancer or things that are deadly, but talk about, like you talked about, something like allergies and congestion and things that people take all kinds of pharmaceuticals for.
Well, the problem with the pharmaceutical approach, and my biggest complaint about the medical approach is not just the substances they use, but the way in which they approach disease, which is entirely on a basis of symptomatic relief. And symptomatic relief is not healing. And one of the big revelations that helped me to get better results with using herbal remedies was when I started to understand that many symptoms are actually the body's efforts to heal itself. So, for example, if you went to a restaurant and they didn't have good sanitation and you got food poisoning and you came home and you threw up, throwing up is the body's way of curing that, right? It's the body's way of throwing off something that's toxic and getting rid of it. So if I could take a drug that would suppress vomiting, would I be hindering the body in getting well or helping the body get well? And the answer is I'd be hindering the body in getting well. So if that's true of throwing up, when we get a low-grade fever or when our nose is running and we're coughing or our bowel gets a little loose or whatever, these are all defensive mechanisms of our body trying to throw off things that are irritating it. And what I learned to do was, instead of trying to use herbal remedies to suppress those symptoms, I used herbal remedies to help the body do what it was trying to do, which was to get rid of the things that were irritating it. And that made it so that I found when my kids would start to come down with a cold, I'd give them remedies to help loosen the phlegm so they'd cough it up quickly and get it out of their system, and they'd often be well in 2 to 6 hours.
And so true, because my children who are now, well, I have grandchildren now, but when my children who are 38 and 35, they never once were given a pharmaceutical. But it doesn't mean they didn't get the usual colds and flus and stomach aches of childhood. We just had a fully stocked natural medicine chest. And really, you rarely have to go to the more severe drugs.
Absolutely. And I know people who might, have their kids have earaches, and they put them on antibiotics, and the kids would have earaches for days and days and days and days. I'd use some garlic oil or a baked onion or a little lobelia warmed up and put in the ear, and my kids would be pain-free and not have any problems after maybe 2 or 3 hours. Compared to days.
Right. It's just the way to go. I really am very involved now because I am involved as a clinician in a major medical university, and I'm happy to be starting to teach this kind of information to physicians. And the thing is, I think this is the standard of practice. In other words, first use the safest and least invasive procedure, which is always natural healing.
Right. Dietary changes, stress management, maybe some natural herbal remedies or some nutritional supplements. And then if that doesn't work, then you go to something stronger. That's my philosophy, too.
And that's what your book lays out so beautifully, Stephen, the modern herbal medicine. That's the name of the book, Modern Herbal Medicine. It's a big, giant book, but you know what I love about it? You left a lot of spaces while you're reading, so it makes it extremely easy to read. So I just want to tell our listeners, for instance, since you brought up something that most people have experienced, which is congestion, you start out with therapies, aromatherapy, colon hydrotherapy, eliminate allergy-causing foods, hydration, and a sweat bath. So you're starting out with other adjunctive therapies. It's not just about taking something, even if it's just an herb. And then you do talk about things which may, in fact, gently moderate the symptoms. And you say, well, some are decongestants and expectorants. And then you give the exact herbs that someone can try. And then later in the book, you talk about, you know, where people can get them in specific commercially available formulas.
Right. And that's one of the unique things about the book is it does direct you to things that you can buy at the health food store or online from some of the major manufacturers of herbal products, including telling you which companies sell which single herbs. One of the other things that we do is we try to differentiate causes. So, for example, I started to understand that what I learned about acute symptoms of the body trying to get rid of a cold or flu or fever also applied to a lot of things that happened with chronic illness. Let's take cholesterol, for example. High cholesterol is not a disease. What the doctors are doing in just artificially trying to knock the cholesterol down is not asking the question, why is the cholesterol rising? Why are cholesterol levels higher in civilized countries than they are in areas of the world where there's less industry? And the reason is because cholesterol, one of the reasons cholesterol elevates is to protect us from environmental toxicity. The body uses cholesterol to bind toxins and transport them back to the liver in order to get them out of the body. So when you artificially lower the cholesterol below a certain point, you actually make the body more prone to developing cancer. So the lower your cholesterol goes, the higher your risk of cancer, because you're removing something that's trying to protect you from exposure to environmental toxins. Plus, it's also affecting your hormonal output, your fertility, and that sort of thing. So I have a naturopathic friend that works with me, Dr. Kimberly Ballas, and she has differentiating reasons why cholesterol can be high or why cholesterol can be low. So we try to talk about some of those things in our book as to some of the things that you want to look at. And one of the ways you lower cholesterol is actually by detoxifying your liver and taking fiber to bind environmental toxins and pull them out of your body, as well as it binds the cholesterol, which is used to get rid of those environmental toxins. So that's where you start to differentiate what natural medicine is really all about, is working with the body instead of just trying to force something to change in the body.
And, of course, the adage tole causum, which is used, as you mentioned, in naturopathic medicine, where the first thing you want to do is find the cause, not cover up the messenger.
Right. The pain or the symptom is a messenger that something is out of balance in the body. Let's say take depression, for example. There are dozens of things that cause depression. So, you know, taking a drug that's supposed to just suddenly, you know, fix depression, period, is ridiculous, because you need to go and look deeper. Why is the person depressed? Is there sadness in their life, you know, or troubles that they need to work through? Is their thyroid low? Is their digestive tract off? There's lots of different things that can cause it. So we try to list a lot of those different causes and some of the symptoms that would be associated with those different causes, so you can look at the person or what's happening as a whole, rather than just one symptom in isolation, because the body operates as a whole, so all of the symptoms in the body at any given time are interrelated. And by looking at the interrelated symptoms, it helps you identify what the cause is of what's going on.
Well, thank you for that. And you have a very large section on depression in your book, Modern Herbal Medicine, in which you do talk about, you know, misunderstood and the fact that they just give people drugs. I actually heard on the way here today in the radio a really horrible thing, saying that they're instituting a new treatment, which is just an implant into the brain that electronically shocks the part of the brain that's involved in depression to cure someone without even addressing any of the things you talked about, like maybe it's a food allergy or maybe it's, you know, some deep-seated trauma that's not even being addressed. I mean, that to me was one of the most horrible interventions. And, of course, it's going to cost, who knows, I forget the number of millions or billions, whatever that is, could have fed an awful lot of people natural food, which would have gotten rid of their depression.
Yeah, absolutely. There's lots of very simple, inexpensive things that could have helped that person out of the depression. And so that's my biggest beef with the whole system, is treating symptoms rather than looking at causes. But I think part of the reason why looking at causes is threatening is because if we really start looking at causes of illness, it's going to require us to make major changes in the way we do things in our culture.
That's so true. Well, Stephen, we're going to just take a little break right here on The Natural Nursing, Dr. Z. Very, very interesting. I love your book. I love the way it looks, and I love the way it reads. And it's really perfect, both for an advanced practitioner and for the newbie. So many people now are just starting to learn about natural medicine, and in particular herbal medicine, and I recommend that you get a copy of this book, Modern Herbal Medicine, by Stephen Horn, our guest for today. I'm Thomas Easley. We will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called tham, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil all of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diaphoretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
Welcome back, listeners, once again for more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. Myself, Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse, and Eugene Zamperone, my co-host, naturopathic physician, bring you The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z every Tuesday right here on Progressive Radio Network, and that's Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m. I know many of you join us live because I get so many of those information resource kinds of things, tweets and emails. The Facebook page is The Natural Nurse. It's Facebook/Natural Nurse, and you can send us information there or email us through our website at naturalnurse.com. Also on the website, you can find our full schedule. For instance, I'll be lecturing at the American Holistic Nurses Association 2014 conference, and that's actually next week. And I'll be talking about nurse as shaman. And then we have a full 4-week certification course at Restoration Farm. Restoration Farm, which is in Old Bethpage, New York, Long Island. And that's a 4-week class. And we're going to have such classes as wild medicinal herb walk, botany and botanical nomenclature, and making medicine, where we go out and gather medicine in the field and make them into salves and tinctures and extracts. And then we will also be having a class as the consciousness of plants. It's very interesting, a lot of the new and old research showing how you can interact with plants as sentient beings. So that's just some of the very interesting things we have going on. You can go to naturalnurse.com, click on schedule. You can also take a look at our books, many books, including arthritis, weight loss, The Natural Medicine Chest, The Natural Guide to Great Sex, Cycles of Life, all kinds of books that myself and Dr. Zamperone have written as well. And we'd love to have you join us there. Today we have as our guest Mr. Stephen Horn. Stephen is a professional member and past president of the American Herbalist Guild and also the International Iridology Practitioner Association, and he is a certified instructor with them. And he's the author of many books, and today we're focusing on his new volume, which is a must-have for anyone interested in taking care of themselves and their family, as well as if they are a practitioner. It's just great for everyone. It's called Modern Herbal Medicine, a really wonderful triumph, I would say, Stephen, and thank you so much for sending us a review copy. This is one that's going to stay on my shelf.
Well, thank you. I was listening to the thing a little about the thyme, and I was thinking how many medicines are sitting in people's spice cabinets that they don't even know how valuable they are and how they could help people. I remember I was over at somebody's house and somebody had a cold, and so I just started rummaging through their spice cabinet looking for some stuff that I could give them to help them get over the cold, and it's there. And that's what I think is incredible about herbal medicine, is it's so accessible. to ordinary people.
It is, but something like spices, for instance, that I really love when you can get organic, because unfortunately the regular spices that are available commercially are highly irradiated.
Yes,
and may or may not be too medicinally active. But you can grow your own, where you can purchase organic, and then you can tell the difference. You can smell the difference. You can feel the difference. It's so alive.
It is. And one of the things that, in mentioning about the intelligence in plants, you know, a plant is a living thing, and life has this energy about it, this life energy that the plant sits and absorbs the light of the sun and takes the elements from the earth and the air and the water and organizes them into living tissue. Well, when you take and break that apart, you denature it. You also devitalize it. And the devitalization is the removal of that wonderful life energy. And that's one of the other things that makes the difference between pharmaceuticals and plant medicine, is that life energy, that vitality. It's like the difference between eating a whole food and eating refined sugar. Refined sugar is a dead, lifeless substance that's become a pure chemical. And it's not just about chemistry, it's about energy. And that energy is something that makes vibrant, you know, whole foods and vibrant whole herbs actually give their healing power. It's not just their chemistry, it's also their vitality.
That's so true. And, you know, a great thing for people to watch to get an idea about that, there's an old movie. It was made in 1976 based on a book. I knew Christopher Bird well. He was the author of the book, looking at the secret life of plants.
Yes.
And the book was excellent. I read it when Christopher wrote it. And then in 76, they actually made a movie out of it. And, you know, it's available on YouTube for free. It's not the clearest copy, but you can see it. And that's an amazing research that was done by Clive Baxter, who actually invented the lie detector machine.
Ah.
And it was strictly by mistake that he found out that plants knew when something was threatening them. And he was able to make a change in the reading in the lie detector. So it's called The Secret Life of Plants. It's very easy to find online, and it really speaks to what you just pointed out in terms of the energetic field and the consciousness of plants.
Right. And so Native Americans believe that if you approach the plant with reverence and harvested it in a respectful, reverent manner, that that's when it would give its greatest healing power to you, because you would be getting the life essence of that plant, not just the chemistry of it.
Yeah, and more science is actually backing that. It's very interesting. It's a whole entire sort of new but old science. So we love that, because you even felt that when you first got involved in natural medicine, and now science is collaborating that, which is so often the case.
Yes.
Now, why do you prefer to suggest herbs rather than, let's say, what we would call vitamins or nutritional supplements?
Yeah, I do use some vitamins or nutritional supplements, but again, I consider that to be to nutrition as to what phytochemicals are to herbs. There may be a place in more severe symptoms, you know, when someone's even farther out of balance, to using curcumin instead of using the whole turmeric, you know, to kind of get them started on the road to recovery. But ultimately, the herb, because of its life energy and its synergy and its wholeness, is more healing to the body than the phytopharmaceutical. So just as you can take a zinc supplement or magnesium supplement and it'll do you some good, it'll do you far more good if you get that from food, because no nutrient or chemical operates in the body in isolation. And so when things are presented to our bodies in those whole complexes, they actually work better than they do when they're presented as individual supplements. And I can give you an example with iron. I know women who often develop anemia during pregnancy, and they'll be taking iron supplements, and they'll still be anemic. But I've put them on herbs like alfalfa and nettles and maybe a little bit of yellow dock with that, and their iron levels start climbing back up, even though there's only a fraction of the amount of iron in those herbs than there would be in that iron supplement. But it's presented in a way that the body can actually absorb it and utilize it.
Right, so it's not the amount, and something like that can vary so greatly if you're talking about iron. For instance, the one that they use in the commercial supplements, such as ferrous sulfate, actually can have a lot of toxic components to it because it does release singlet oxygen, which is in a very aggressive, free radical that can break up cell structure, and yet you'll never find that in a plant like yellow dock root that has iron.
Right, and one thing people need to understand is that that all the minerals have to be bound to other organic molecules in order to be absorbed and utilized. So if you take calcium carbonate, just chalk as a calcium supplement, yeah, it gets into your bloodstream, but it raises free calcium levels, and that free calcium doesn't get into your bones, it doesn't get into your tissues, it doesn't get where it's needed. Instead, it gets flushed out through your urine, where it can create kidney stones, or it can contribute to dental plaque or calcium deposits, because it's not getting utilized. The calcium has to attach to amino acids or fatty acids or other constructs in order to be utilized properly by the body, because the body does not use minerals in their metallic or inorganic form. So again, I prefer, you know, the whole foods and the whole herbs, except when someone might be severely deficient, in which you give them a supplement for a short period of time, hopefully with the herbs that go with it, and then gradually get them back on track.
Yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to work on your health. Now, we're talking about your book today, Modern Herbal Medicine, and you actually did put into this book, Stephen, a lot of the specific, not only formulas, but companies that offer these advanced kind of herbal therapies to the public. And you do have a piece in here on Nature's Answer, which I helped bring to you, and of course I work with Nature's Answer. And I think it's such a wonderful service that you've done for people, because it makes it very easy to find and follow up on the protocols that you talk about in the book.
Well, yeah, and one of the reasons why I wanted to do that is because for beginners, the people who are new to herbalism, let's say that they want to get something herbal for depression. Well, single herbs, there's a lot of single herbs that work on depression, not just St. John's wort. There's black quash and Damiana and others, but they work on different causes of depression. So for a beginner, if they get a formula, an herbal formula for depression, they're going to get a whole bunch of different herbs that work on different underlying causes, and they're more likely to get results than trying to randomly work with singles. But health food stores can't tell you what those formulas do. The companies that make them can't tell you what they do because of the government regulations. So I wanted a book that would help people be able to figure out and interpret the labels and know how to find formulas that would work for them. Because, again, the synergy of several herbs working together can be greater than just one herb by itself. So I happen to really like working with herbal formulas, well-done herbal formulas. And there's a lot of really good herbal formulas out there.
And let's go through the book and let's trace one plant, let's say, or not a plant, because you start out talking about conditions.
Yes.
And then therapies, then herbal formulas, then the key herbs where you go into the normal dosage that would be used, how much you should use, what questions you should have. And then you're talking about the specific companies, like we mentioned, as well as the Herbal Formula Index. So you can use, I mean, this is not a book that you sit down to read like a novel. This is a how-to book, how to take a condition and follow it through and find out how to use this. And you don't have to spend years of study to be able to use it. You really made it very, very easy. So you pick a condition, and let's use the book as you envision a consumer using this book to help them create an herbal protocol.
Well, let's take one we talked about earlier. Let's say depression. Okay.
Okay.
If you look up depression in the book, it starts out with C also and lists conditions that could be related to depression, such as grief and sadness, you know, low thyroid, inflammatory bowel disorders, seasonal affective disorder, and PMS type D. So you can start by looking up related conditions, and because if you have one of those related conditions, that's likely the cause of your depression. And then it goes through and explains what depression is. It talks about the general therapy for depression and what it's about. And then it gets into specific reasons why you might be depressed. Stress, low thyroid, colon problems, liver issues, hormonal imbalances, seasonal depression, grief and loss, age-related depression. And so you can read through, and it explains what each of those different kinds of depression would involve and what kinds of remedies you'd use for that. And then it has a little section on how to get off antidepressants.
I do want to tell our listeners that you go into many of the antidepressants, such as Wellbutrin and Zyban, and you tell people how it works, the mechanism of action, and so that they have a much deeper understanding of what's going on in their body when they take these things.
Right. And then we recommend, we have a list of linking recommended things, so that we start off with therapies. And the reason we start off with therapies is because your first line of defense is you want to make diet lifestyle changes, things that will start working on the underlying causes of your health problems. So, you know, we have suggestions like affirmations and visualization, colon cleansing, deep breathing, exercise, working on the friendly flora, and so forth. So you can look up those therapies in the therapy section and see what those things entail, you know, to work on the different causes of your depression. And then we talk about formulas that could be useful, and those are linked to the different causes of the depression that we talked about earlier. And you can then go to the formula section and look up and compare different companies' formulas.
Right. Well, I want to go into that, of how people would do that, and we will. But we're going to have to take one more break right here, because we want people to hear about all the wonderful other shows that are on Progressive Radio Network. And when we come back, I'd like to continue with that. Like, you talk about therapies, you talk about formulas, and then how you can actually just turn the book and you have the little tabs so clearly marked, because it makes it easy and it makes it be really full of common sense as well as scientific validity. So it is really a gift. So stand by, Stephen. We'll be right back, right after we hear about all the shows that are available for our listeners right here on Progressive Radio Network. Welcome back once again to more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, and this is on Progressive Radio Network every week. And you can find out more and send us information at naturalnurse.com. Join us on ground or online in many of the classes that we teach. And today we have as our guest Stephen Horn, and he also has a fabulous school. He is the president of the School of Modern Herbal Medicine. And we're talking today about his newest book, Modern Herbal Medicine. Get a theme there, guys, because he is an expert in this area. And Stephen, when you first talked to me about your book, because I did see it when it was in its unfinished form,
yes.
And when you first described to me your concept, I was a little concerned because of the strong regulatory environment. And, you know, what you said is so true, that companies, like here at Nature's Answer, people call all the time and say, what could I use for something that you have in your book, such as congestion or depression or any of the other hundreds of things that you have here. And we actually are forbidden to tell them.
Right, and the same thing too with the person at the health food store.
Right, and the way you laid this out, it's completely legal. It's excellent.
Yeah.
So why is it so difficult for us to share true, non-misleading healing information?
Well, we live in in my opinion, an excessively regulatory environment, because the idea that if we pass enough laws that we can keep anything bad from ever happening to people is sort of the mindset, I think, of the culture. But the fact is that, you know, by freedom of speech, you know, we should be able to do this, but the government has decided that when you're speaking and you're representing a product, that freedom of speech does not apply to you in commercial speech, that you cannot say what you want when you're involved in a commercial transaction. So that's why it becomes necessary to go to third-party information, somebody who's not affiliated with a particular company who can use the principle of freedom of speech and say, hey, I'm just educating people about options. And that's what I wanted to do, was create a third-party education so that the products that these different herb companies are putting out, people would have some kind of guide to be able to help them understand how to use those products.
And, you know, I think this certainly, the book Modern Herbal Medicine, could certainly sit on the shelf at a health food store in the appropriate location in the book section.
Right. But
they could have a copy that can be used by the clerk, which they can't say use this, but they can help the person look something up.
Yeah, they can say, you know, hey, we got some books over here. Here's one of them. Why don't you look that up? See what they say.
Right. And then let's say they did look up even a simple thing like dermatitis.
Right.
You know, you talk about, again, colon cleansing, which naturopathic physicians would know. Now, a customer might never have thought of that for a skin condition.
Right. And so the customer looked at that and go, well, yeah, what can I do for a colon cleanse? And they go, well, we got some products over here that are, you know, some good cleanses. And plus, of course, if you look up in the book, you'd find actually products that you could compare ingredients in the book, and it also allows you to compare dosage forms. So you can look and see what products are alcohol extracts or glycerin extracts, alcohol-free extracts, or teas or capsules or tablets or bulk herbs or whatever that can allow you to look at the different ingredients and the different forms and see what would be appropriate for you and for your needs.
Right, and I'll give an example from the book, too. Antiparasitic formulas. Oh, boy. It is actually illegal to say on a bottle of a formula that it's antiparasitic.
Right.
But yet, the way you have it in your book is really well laid out. You know, you have the name of the actual product, you have the brand, you're not making any recommendation of one brand over another. You're simply listing the name and also the major ingredients in that product.
Right. So what we do is the way this works is each category of formulas has certain key herbs. So, for example, antiparasitic herbs include black walnut, clove, elecampane, you know, male fern, pumpkin seed, and so forth. And then we actually have those herbs bolded in the ingredient lists of the formulas. So you can go down and see, you know, the different key herbs that are found in those formulas and compare them. And then all of the herbs that are key herbs in the formulas are also listed in the herb section, so you can look up those individual herbs and see a little about what each one of them does. So it's basically designed to be a reference manual for people to look up and research what to do about different health problems. Like you say, whether you're a practitioner or whether you're a layperson, it's laid out in a way that makes it easy to look stuff up and kind of figure out where you need to go.
Well, here's a topic that's been in the news in the natural products area because Mike Adams from Natural News has been shouting about it, and that's heavy metal poisoning, which he is linking actually to using certain supplements, let alone in the general environment.
Well, heavy metal contamination is a huge problem. And what's interesting is, especially when you're dealing with herbs coming out of China, Heavy metal contamination is huge in China. As
Why
well
do you think? Is that from their air pollution, or are they using different kinds of fertilizers?
Well, it might be chemicals. I know that when I was over in 2006 in China, in Xi'an, where the Terracotta Warriors are, the air was gray with pollution. They're burning a lot of coal. They've become a heavily industrialized country, but they don't have the environmental protection things for, dealing with contaminations and so forth. So a lot of areas of China have become really contaminated because of industry.
And so, because, yes, certainly here at Nature's Answer, we actually check all raw ingredients as they come in for various kinds of contaminants, including pesticides and heavy metals, and we do reject batches.
Right, and there are your more reputable herb companies test their raw materials and do things like that to make sure that they are, contaminant-free. And this is one of the things where people sometimes have a problem when they go online and they find some really cheap brand of herbs. I can guarantee that those really cheap brands of herbs are the herbs that the major herb companies wouldn't take.
You're so true. That's so true.
So when it comes to herbal remedies, cheaper is not necessarily better. You want to stick with the more reputable companies and brands. Otherwise, you could be getting stuff that is either contaminated with heavy metals, or you even can have active constituents removed from it. They can, take out a certain constituent so it's lower, and then sell the spent material as that herb.
Right.
And you won't get the quality. So there is fraud in our industry, which is why you want to try to stay with the better brands.
There is fraud, but like you bring up, there is quite a bit of regulation. When the drug company shouts out that there is no regulation in the supplement industry, it's true there are bad players, but there are plenty of regulations in place. And we're an FDA-regulated facility, and the FDA is in here all the time.
Well, yes, the new GMP practices, they go in and they check, and they're making sure that those companies are, manufacturing cleanly and their environments are sterile and that they're not contaminating the products. So this industry is regulated. When they're calling for more regulation, what they're really looking at is we don't want people selling these products because
right.
they're competing with the drugs. In fact, I think it's ironic that there was a contaminated batch of tryptophan that caused some health problems with people. And even though they proved it was a contaminated batch of tryptophan, they took tryptophan off the market 1 year before they came out with the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, whereas tryptophan did exactly the same thing that selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors do, but it managed to get it off the market so it couldn't compete with them. And now they have to put tryptophan in IVs, they have to put tryptophan in infant formulas because it's an absolute essential nutrient, but they still block it from being sold. And I think it's just because it competes with the drugs.
Well, thank you so much for such much enlightening information and for taking the time. And I know what it takes to write a book. This one is a winner. It is called Modern Herbal Medicine. It's going to be an encyclopedic version in thousands of people's bookshelves because it can just make you take care of your family with herbal medicine today. I mean, it's good to continue to study. The more that you know, of course, the better choices that you create for yourself. But this can make it instantly accessible. Thank you so much for the work that you did putting this beautiful volume together, Stephen.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
And Stephen's website is modernherbalmedicine.com. Is that the best place for people to find you?
Yes. And the book is also available on Amazon. So
that makes it easy.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much.
All right.
Be well. And thank you, listeners, for joining us once again for another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. You can find us at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse, hoping that you stay healthy.